If you do, you have your Bibles open, and if not, we can go back to 1 Kings chapter 19, and I'm just going to get Peter to put up a tweet here. At least I followed it on Twitter, and oh, you didn't get it? Okay, don't trust me when I tell you about Twitter. There's three things in mental health that have come out in the last, let's say, 4 weeks. Both very interesting. All three actually very interesting about mental health. One of them is on bipolar. And the other one was on Alzheimer's, and the third one is on depression. And they really is, I would say, venture to say, probably will turn this part of medicine upside down for the findings. And I'm not going to go into detail. If you want to listen to my podcast, you can. I talk about it, but I want to talk this morning about one of them. And if I would have sent that properly to Peter, I can't blame Peter because it's me. Believe me when I tell you that I didn't send it to him properly. But if you read the tweet, it says that they got depression wrong. And in the medical sense, because I think if you did a survey, probably even in this room, you would say that depression is caused by, and you would, I think we'd put our hands up if you had an answer and probably would say chemical imbalance. And what medicine is saying now, well, that's not true. Now, there's a chemical imbalance, but it doesn't come first. So it's the chicken or the egg thing. And this morning, I want to look at the chicken. And we see it really in 1 Kings chapter 19. And we'll see the roots of depression. And the thing that's important in this for you and I is that we're reading about a believer here that goes into depression. Now, I want to tell you that I took notes when Dennis, you spoke on this, and when Sam did 1 Kings, when we're doing the the overview on Wednesday nights of the Bible, Sam did 1 Kings, and he stopped, and he spent some time on 1 Kings chapter 18, very significant part of the Bible. But let's look at the first verse of 19, just with me. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. Now, put your hand up here if you know what the Super Bowl is. Even ladies know what the Super Bowl is, right? Not that you care, but there's a lot of football fans here in at SBF. So you know what the Super Bowl is, whether you're a fan or not. Well, the Super Bowl in the Bible is 1 Kings chapter 18. It's one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. It makes for the one of the best Bible stories that you would share with a kid. And you tell them about the Super Bowl. And the odds, like, I don't know, what is it called, Bet 360 now, and they're betting on everything, or have you ever noticed that, or whatever? The betting odds were 850-1. And the Super Bowl was won by a big upset. But you have to know that in order to understand 1 Kings 19. Because right on the heels of the Super Bowl win for Elijah, we find out the background to mental health, and more specifically, Christians are not immune to this. We're not immune. And so it's really an interesting little study that I want to go into this morning to look at this, to look at it in some detail, and to go into the background of how it can happen. So I called it living in a cave, because if you read verse 9, that's what it says. Elijah ends up in a cave. And I venture to say here today that there are people that are feel like they're in a cave even today. They're hurting. You know, one thing that we've learned, and I've said this probably every time I've spoken since COVID, the world, my friend, is coming apart at the seams emotionally. Medicine knows it. Antidepressants in the last 2 years are up 300% in prescriptions. People are coming apart at the seams. And yeah, there's chemical imbalance that occurs. Absolutely. But even the world is saying that doesn't come first. It doesn't come first. It's a result of. And they don't even tell you what it's of, other than they use a big term called stress. That stress is a real factor. Now, the Bible, you know, if you want to know how current it is, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25 that anxiety, it's unreal, leads to depression. So the world, in a sense, has it right, but if they had only read the scriptures, they would see that stress is a huge factor. Here's the Super Bowl win. And friend, be careful when you think you're on top of the mountain. Life is short, finish the sentence, and full of trouble. Life is short and full of trouble. That's wisdom. You better understand that. So, the first one that we see, there's four things I want to talk to you about this morning, and they are absolutely part of living in a cave. And that is, number one, fear. That's stress. That's anxiety. Now listen, you're meant to have stress. God gave you organs that are meant for stress. They're called your adrenal, on top of kidneys, right? What do they release? Well, they don't come, you know, the initial single signal comes from your brain, your hypothalamus. It tells your adrenals to what? To release what? Cortisol, right? Cortisol is, that's cortisol, okay? And if I scare you, I come up behind you, or I use this voice, right? Which I used with great success when my kids were young, right? I didn't have to spank them, although they deserved it. I would use my voice, right? Loud. You're crossing the line. Stop. Right? That'd stress you out. I was producing cortisol in my kids. And so, but that's normal. If someone scares you, if you're you know, that's a normal reaction. Your body is made for that. The hairs on the back of your head will stand up, and your blood pressure up, and blood sugar up, and all these things. It's normal, right? But it's not supposed to last. It's not supposed to last. Fear is a huge factor. It's a huge factor in medicine. Because even today, if you read about stress and you read about the drip, drip, drip of cortisol, it's fascinating to see how that affects your heart. Ask physicians. Ask, we got Ben and Sam here. Ask, because they know it. They know how important stress is, because stress over a long period of time affects your heart, affects your brain, it affects your gut. Anybody got bad digestive tract? A lot of times that is caused by stress. Anybody ever gone through that? You don't have to put your hand up, but I'm telling you, it is a major concern in our society today. A major problem. From pain to disease. It is. And now we're finding out that the Bible was right. It is a major factor in depression. Anxiety, worry leads to depression. It's very important to understand that. We're looking at the chicken today and not the egg. People live in a cave. Christians can live there. You know, it tells us that he went to the mountain of God, right? He was, you know, he's a Christian. He's a believer. You and I, believers, right? But we go to the, we're close to God, but we're not seeing and we're not hearing God's voice because we're in the cave in our lives. And have you been there? You know what I'm talking about? You're in the cave, and it's something. And the Bible says this about fear. God hasn't given you the spirit of fear. So let me break that down. Fear, now again, there's two. Temporary, you're scared. It's dark. Somebody's walking behind you. You're going to your car. And you're, I hear, right? It was funny. You guys might not think this is funny, but Canadians were not used to this. But Rosie and I, we were at Boulevard Bible Chapel in Florida. And I was talking, just in between meetings, I was talking to a guy there. And I've known him for several years. I said, you know, it's we're talking about guns. And he said, well, feel this. So I went like that. He said, see all the men here? Almost all of us are packing. Are you kidding me? Friends, that's America. Like, what? You got a gun? You're in the chapel? Well, we pack all the time, right? So fear, I mean, you know, if you're packing today, are you packing? You can't in Canada, by the way. You can't. you know, I don't look down at that. I mean, that's part of their culture there. But, you know, all I'm saying is fear, if it's temporary, there's nothing wrong with that. Fear that lasts is destructive. It's destructive. It's not constructive. And it says, the Bible says very clearly in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, God has not given you a spirit of fear. The other word is, one is fear. You know what the other word is there? God has not given you what? A spirit. This, my friend, you have to understand this. This is important. It's a spiritual thing. God hasn't given you a spiritual gift of fear. It's not from him. If you are here today and you're worried and your gastric juices are doing this, and you are uptight, you know what you're doing? Look, and I'm not minimizing it. I've been there, my friend. It's not from God. Just understand that. It's not from God. It's from your enemy. It's from your enemy. It's not from God. It's a spiritual thing. And God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and this is important, the third one, a sound mind, a disciplined mind. And we're going to get into that this morning. This is really a mind game, my friend. And you have to understand the source of it. You see, fear, stress, prolonged, is not of God. And it's a spiritual thing. It's a lack of, here's Elijah. He's in a cave. He's, of course, God's everywhere. But he was on the mountain of God. He was in the right area, but he was in the wrong place. Do you know what I'm saying by that? He was so close, yet his understanding was darkened. He couldn't see because he was living in fear. And Jesus said this. Jesus said this. I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. But it didn't end there. He says this. The other half of that verse. But the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. My friend, I'm telling you, when you live in a cave, spiritually, you're connected to God, but you're not on the same page with God. Fear can take over your life, and anxiety will change your chemistry inside your body, literally, and it leads to depression, my friend. It can lead to depression. And fear is a really important thing. I mean it. Big thing is spiritual. Second, fear, one. Two, discouragement. Discouragement. Discouragement comes when you listen to Jezebel. Now, I don't know if there's anyone in the Bible that is more like Satan than Jezebel. Read about Jezebel. She's in the Old Testament. She's in the New Testament. Right? Because Jezebel is a picture, really, of Satan. And Jezebel said, Elijah, by this time tomorrow, you're a dead duck. And Elijah, coming off a Super Bowl win of 850-1, hears a voice from his enemy, not of God, the enemy, and he is scared skinny. And he is discouraged big time. Was it God's voice? Was it God's voice telling him to run? Nope. It was his enemy's voice. Jezebel herself. And can I just say something, Christian, please? Listen up, Linda. You ever seen that? Google it or YouTube it or whatever. I don't know. Okay? It's funny. But anyway, listen. Please don't be a Jezebel. Because some people think they have the gift of Jezebelism, which you don't. It's not a gift. But people can be discouragers. I notice you're putting on a little weight. Hey, shut up. and Duffy, where are you? I don't want that going all over the internet, okay? No, but seriously, think about it. People think they have the gift of discouragement. I don't read it in the Bible, do you? I don't. It's not there. It's not a gift. It's from the enemy. And so many Christians think they have that gift. Oh, set a watch over my mouth, O Lord. Keep the guard of my lips. Because you know what? If you've got nothing good to say, shut up. Stay quiet. I mean it. Be an encourager. You haven't known how many people, their lives are coming apart at the seam. The wheels on the bus have come off. They're in the ditch. And they don't need discouragement. They're already discouraged. They need encouragement. You know, Job's friends, they were great until they showed up. Nah, really, they weren't. They were actually pretty good for the first 7 days. You know why? They never said a word. You know, people go, I can't go to a funeral. You know, I don't like funeral homes. And you know, it's morbid. And, you know, just go. You don't have to say anything. Someone dies. You have no idea how many times. I didn't know what I died. I don't know what to say. Don't have to say much. I love you. I care for you. That's it. I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. You wouldn't believe how people. I sent a text to someone last week. I just had a thought, and God said, you know, what's so nice today? Send an email. I know Peter didn't get mine, but you know, you can send a text today and encourage the stuffing out of someone that's down. That person sent me a text back and said, Tony, you have no idea what I was thinking today and how hurt I was. And you gave me that verse, you gave me a text, and you told me that you were praying for me. I forgot that I even sent the text. I'm senior. But I was reminded how important that is. Guys, don't be a Jezebel. Jezebel is not of God. It's the opposite of God. Don't ever be a Jezebel. And he was discouraged. And this is why I'm saying, folks, this is so important for your mental health. Okay? It's so important. Stress and captivate your thoughts. It takes discipline. It takes practice. It takes repetition. Captivate your thoughts. You're thinking about something, put it through a filter. God gives you a filter. The world doesn't have it. But God says, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's a disciplined mind. That's a filtered mind. That's a captured mind. You get a thought. It's negative. It might have come from Jezebel. And, okay, what are you going to do with it? Is it true? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of a good report? No? Delete. Guys, you know, like sometimes we think, you're equipped. The world doesn't have the resources. I said this to my sister last night. We were talking on the phone. And I said, the world, she was talking about one of my other sisters. And I said to her, Lozanne, like, that sister, she's not saved. She doesn't have what you have. She, you know, why is she thinking like that? Well, she's not saved. She doesn't have the power of a sound mind. I mean, not that people can't discipline themselves or whatever. And, you know, you can positive thinking. And I took every course known to man in that stuff. You know how much power there is in that? There ain't none. Because it can't change the inner being. You must be born again. And God gives you His Spirit. God gives you His mind. God gives you the equipment needed to live an abundant life. Without problems? No. Who said that? That is false teaching from the pit of Jezebel. H-E double hockey stick if you want. I mean it. It's not true. How could it be true, guys? That God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to be wealthy. And God wants you to be happy. For heaven's sakes. That doesn't come in the Bible. You're in school. This ain't your home. School's no fun. People are coming to school. That ain't no fun. Right? So what? I'm glad I ain't in school. In school, but I'm in school because I haven't graduated yet. And look at me. I see your face. Means neither have you. So what's coming to a theater near you? Trouble. 100% for sure. Trouble. Because only through trouble, when you look at it from God's perspective and you read God's word, not some preacher that's promising, first of all, give me money and I'll tell you the good news, right? Come on, guys. That's not of God. What God is promising you is trouble. Why? Because without trouble, you can't build Christ-like character. It's an impossibility. Only through trials can you become like Jesus. Right? What do you got to do in trouble? I rely on Jesus because I found out I don't have a lot of resources on my own. Without Jesus Christ, and guys, you're going to school. What a difference that makes. That's my expectation. My expectation is not, my hope is there. And my expectation here is, I'm not a negative person at all. I mean that. I don't look at the glass half empty or whatever. That's not how I live my life. But guys, when I think the way God wants me to think, I put things into perspective, or at least I try to. Am I stressed? Yeah, but I try not to let it take over my life. Are you worried here today? And it's burning a hole in your stomach? And it's one of the biggest causes of cancer. I'm telling you. And it's one of the biggest causes of mental health problems. I'm telling you. Even the world's starting to see it. And discouragement is a big, big factor. And quickly, let me give you two more. Number three is living on feelings, not on promises. See, that's guys, you know what mental health is? If you go Google it and say, what is mental health? And it'll tell you. Well, it's still... It hasn't changed yet. Meaning it's not a chemical imbalance that starts it, okay? But here's what they say. You are feelings of hopelessness, worthlessness, and despair. Go read it. There's about four or five major symptoms. Anybody ever been depressed and know exactly what I'm talking about here today? I mean, literal clinical depression. Yep, I know there's people that know exactly what that is. And despair, and it is, I've had patients describe this to me, a darkness, Tony. You have no idea. It's a darkness. Yeah, because you're living in the cave, my friend. You're in the cave. And your body's changing. And you're in a cave, but the key for us, again, you got to go back to the equipment that God's given you. God is trying to get your attention by saying, Don't focus on your circumstances. Focus on me. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Please, Christian, can you memorize that verse? Memorize it. It'll save your bacon. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 61 and 2. Put it to memory. I put it to memory. It's helped. I focus in. Tony, your heart overwhelmed? Yep. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Get me out of the cave. Bring me, Lord, out of the cave. Not the circumstances, but my thinking, my reliance on you. Isaiah 26 and 3. God will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. My friend, if you have any issue in this area, stress, discouragement, you need to memorize those two verses. Put them in your memory bank, put them in your heart, and go over and over and over those verses again. So let God lead you out of living on your feelings to living on promises. God promises that if your heart is overwhelmed and you come out of the cave and go onto the rock, God will take you and your mind, and he will give you joy, not happy, joy, in spite of your circumstances. That's God's promise to you. You have to live on that. You have to live on his promises, not on explanations. Because you can't always explain why things happen in the world. You can't explain it. And you know, you won't know it. And you know what? You can't live. I don't understand. Tony, you don't understand. You're right. I don't. But God does. Folks, this is as practical as practical in a world, like I say, that is full of despair. And fourth, you find it, Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. And in verse 4, number 4, then he went on alone by himself. Hello? You're not meant to be alone. You got it? You're not meant to be alone. Oh, God called me to be a lone ranger. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Do not forsake the assembling of one another, as is the custom of some, but what? Encourage one another even more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Memorize it if you have a tendency to be alone. Leave me alone. Elijah to God. You know what, God? I'm alone. 850-1. Knocked them out. But I'm alone. They didn't repent. Jezebel's still alive. What's going on, God? What the? You ever done that with God? Right? Don't go alone, my friend. Don't go alone. And you know what God said to him? Well, if you'd have stick around in Israel a bit, I have 7,000 people never bowed their knee to Baal there, you know. You had fellowship there, Elijah. You weren't alone. I know God says, I know people's hearts, and there's 7,000 people there that have never bowed their knee to Jezebel's gods. My friend, don't be alone. Because what happens is that when we're discouraged, when we have stress, when we're fearful, and these things overwhelm us, and we're living on our feelings, guess what? We want to be alone because nobody understands. And that is a big, big mistake that people live with. They live and they can't share. My brother is a psychoanalyst. He's a psychologist. And he said to me a couple of weekends ago, he said one of the things that that makes him effective in what he does, people just sharing. He said, I get paid to listen. Oftentimes don't even know what to say. Of course, he's not a Christian, right? But he said, one of the things that people think it's worth the money coming to see me, I just sit there and listen to them. You know what, my friend? Don't be alone. God doesn't want you to be alone. God wants you to come here. He really does. Okay? You can stay home if you want. But that's, you know, that's not what God wants. God, you need me, and I need you. That's the way Christianity works, my friend. It's the only way to prosper in the Christian life. You need each other. And so if you understand that, I can give you testimony after testimony after testimony of people who said, if it wasn't for the believers, if it wasn't for not my immediate family, but my church family, I don't know where I'd be today. You know how many people have told me that? And so the mistakes that Elijah made were there, those four things. And it's the chicken of depression. Let us pray. Father, thank you again, O God, for your precious Son, the Lord Jesus. And I thank you, O God, for your goodness to us. And I know, Father, that even in this room, there are many people who are hurting. And there are many people in this room, Father, that are going through difficulties in their lives. And we have no idea, Father. And they can put a smile on their face, but inside they're in a cave. And they can hardly see the light. And they're hurting. And I pray for them, God, that you would speak to them, remind them of how much you love them, how much you care for them, and how you want to speak to their hearts. As we read in, or at least is in 1 Kings chapter 19, is, and God spoke in a still, small voice. And Father, oh, that we would hear that voice today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.